Coming up, I'll be sharing just a short scripture with you. But what this was, guys, if you go ahead and put the Move Thailand slide. We had three jobs to do. One was build a wall, which this wall is sections of cement about this wide by this tall, and each section weighs 250 pounds. And the wall was 365 feet long. And all these projects came with challenges, but praise God, it's crazy when you think about the things we had to do and the challenges that we had. We completed the projects. We had to take the old school building, which it was the old church, now it's going to be a school building where they're teaching English to the Thai school kids. That whole roof was a wooden roof with like a metal top. It had been completely just devoured so badly that people couldn't walk in it anymore by termites. So I watched them as they started pulling it off, and like huge, it looks like 55-gallon buckets of like brown dust was falling down, and that was all of the termite damage. And so we built metal trusses, and they put the trusses up on that building, completely re-roofed it. We went over to the other building, which was just a slab that was waiting for us. And from block laying to cement pouring to building metal trusses to building the steeple to the cross to the roofing, all that was completed. And we were supposed to leave the site at 12:30 on Wednesday to get back to the hotel to check out. We left at 1:30, putting the last piece of cement board on the steeple. Another group will come in and finish that. That wasn't on our lot. But we pushed it right up to the minute because this was the first time that Move and all the buildings they've built, which is, I forget how many. Kevin, do you remember how many churches they've built over time? Yeah, I know it was right close to the 40 mark. They've never built a steeple. So this was something where we had the plans, but as you can tell, first time you do anything, things happen. And so that was a challenge, but God was even faithful in that. So it's amazing. We talk about the build, but the one thing I want to say before the guys come up is Move prioritizes the relationship. Pastor Aaron Keller runs this, and he said to me, I talked to him on the phone early on when I told him I want to go, and he said, Matt, if you want to invite anyone from your church, now listen to this. This is a project where you have to build all these things, and it's a Christian-based product, or a Christian-based, affiliation, where Aaron said these words to me. Invite men, they don't have to know what they're doing, and they don't have to be saved. I'm thinking, well, that doesn't make any sense. How are you going to build a building with no one who knows what they're doing? And guys that aren't saved, are they going to get it? And I learned as I was there, it was just crazy how they prioritized a relationship with God and an openness to get some of the stuff out. Guys, any of you play tough guy and you keep a lot in? Every night, it's like these guys taught me how to really plug back into God. And I'm thinking, not that I'm this perfect guy, but I do things as best as I can. I follow the word. But they plugged into God and they opened up, and I saw things pour out of men that they've been hanging on to. And it was incredible. And it made sense why Aaron opens this up to people who aren't saved, because throughout the day, I fit in great throughout the day because, man, it was just guys. And you saw attitude and you saw, some things. You're thinking, that's not very Christian-like. But out of people who are professing Christians, part of my brain's struggling with this. But then at night, man, one guy just pulled out a chair and said, you got a problem. Let us know about it. We're going to pray over you. What guy's going to jump up into that chair? Next thing you know, one guy, then another, and they're pouring out things that they've been hanging on to that really helped me understand maybe why some of the attitude, why some of the issues. And these guys are carrying the stuff. So Move, it's real. And if you've never been on a trip, guys, go on one of these. It'll open you up in many ways. Yes, it's trying, it's challenging, but it's real, it's of God. And just an amazing, amazing trip. Kevin, come on up, my friend. I'll be right here.
Matt's already acclimatized to this cold weather. Not me. coming from 80, 90 degrees and plus, it's not my favorite. but a lot better than this cold. The theme for this year was unity, which is spelled out. And that was something that God started talking to me about before, was unity in Christ, unity with one another. My first trip was El Salvador in 02, and God gave me the scripture of Psalms 133. And oh, how good and how pleasant it is for the brothers to dwell together in unity. And you learn unity real quick with the move trips. You got 60-some guys, and they're, well, this is the largest they've ever brought. So it was a little more of a challenge than most, trying to logistically plan for all these guys for hotels and transportation. We've had as many as 40 guys going on a trip, and they'll be in two small minivans, so you get close real fast. This one we had, what were they, deuce and a half? They were 2.5-ton trucks that with just benches along sides. And which is kind of a normal thing for the military, but for civilians, it's kind of like, what the heck are we doing? So like Matt said, just the unity is what I want to stress. And you don't have to be trained in anything. I've never really been trained in anything except some electronic stuff and some electrical stuff. And working on conveyor belts was my thing at work. And they didn't have conveyor belts here. I don't know. It's kind of strange. But I've done pretty much most of the jobs there as far as bending re-rod and pouring cement. And I tried my hand at finishing cement. Not for me. And they appreciated that I didn't try again. I tried block laying, and they appreciated that I didn't do that again. But they put up with it. It's a great thing to try out and see what God's going to do in your heart and mind, because He's going to do something. It bonds you together. These are guys that are close enough a year ago, when my bud Rick Jarvis, his wife passed away, and there was guys that came from all over the states to come to his celebration of life for her. And there was 20 guys, I think, showed up at church for her service. And it's just amazing to see the unity you buy into and get when you go on these trips. The closeness of God, these two last songs that Aaron led us on, those were pretty much what we were singing for worship every night. And we have devotions every day. A couple times a day, so it's just awesome to draw in closer to God and see what He's going to do. Building this church is just phenomenal. It's a miracle to see. Most people in other countries don't see that. They see it taking a year or so to get that much work done, just on one building. And I was on the OCD crew, the old church demolition crew. And so we had quite the ordeal trying to get that down safely without falling down, because you just crush the wood in your hand because it was so deteriorated. But we got through with it, and it was pretty amazing. Skyler got to work on the crew with putting up the wall, the reptile wall. And they've had 6-foot monitor lizards up there and 9-foot pythons up on the property, so it looks like it's just bare ground all around there, and it is for that lot. But highway on one side, and then from their lot back, it's just bush. And you can see a couple blocks away where it's supposed to be a road back in there, but it's all overgrown. A couple blocks away, you can see that there's a house or something back in there. Nobody really wanted to venture back in there because of large reptiles. Monitor lizards, and I guess they do have Komodo dragons even, so we never got to see any, unfortunately. Well, or fortunately. And It's always quite the experience. MOVE has always been in my heart for quite a few years now. This was my 14th trip, and there's always something new that God gives you, something God does in your heart. And that's about all I wanted to say. I want to hear what Skylar has to say.
Thank you, Kevin, for sharing that. And I tell you what, Kevin works hard. He's a hardworking guy. And we worked in the over 100-degree heat index every single day weather. And Kevin, you were awesome. You worked super hard. And so I just want to show you a little bit. Got some pictures to show you guys. If you followed along on Facebook, you've seen a lot of photos and stuff. The church was posting things. MOVE had somebody who was taking videos and posting things. He did a great job. But just want to share with you about what we did on this trip. Of course, we took 61 guys, and two women came with us as well. Pam Drake and Heather Hunsaker, for those who know as well, know them, just to help us out with stuff and do laundry and that kind of stuff, and cooking with some of the food. And it was amazing. And we went and we completed all three projects just like we were supposed to. The OCD crew over there on the Old Church demolition put the new roof in. The wall crew, we constructed a 265-foot concrete wall, and I got more to talk to you about on that. It was crazy and a lot of work, but we got it done. And of course, the new church as well. And so this picture right here, this is the humble beginnings of the church going up. The foundation is poured for us when we get there, but we build everything from the foundation up. And so this right here is some of the pieces going down, the block going down to start the build of the church. You guys go to my next picture, that'd be excellent. We have right here the old church, the roof was coming down, and like I said, termite damage was just unbelievable. And those guys worked super hard and got done a few days early on the whole project, so they worked super hard. They did a great job as well. Right here, this is Dara Rossavan. She and her husband, Mike, are the missionaries over there in Thailand. And this woman right here is an incredible host. We were working hard, and again, it was super hot. And throughout the day, there'd be ladies coming around and Dara coming around, giving us snacks and drinks as we're working. And they cooked it a phenomenal for us every single day. The pad Thai, I found out pad Thai is my new favorite Thai dish. And of course, sticky rice. We had rice for every single meal. It was great as well. Right there in the orange, that guy's name is Dave Bethany. He was the construction manager. He and Aaron, they really work side by side to make these trips happen, to make these trips possible. But Dave oversees all the construction. This guy has a job. You got 61 guys coming together, and in one way or another, all of them really believe that they are in charge. They know what they're doing. And so Dave's job is to rein these guys in and say, actually, I'm in charge, and this is what you're going to do. And he does an amazing, amazing job. And we completed this church in 12 working days. 61 guys coming together to build everything we've talked about so far in 12 working days. It's incredible. It's incredible. As you can see here, we have another picture of the old church. They're in the process of taking off the roof there, and they did a great job. Next slide, please. That's me right there, working on the wall crew. Yeah, I got my post hole digging muscles ready to go there. We dug 35 holes. Yes, 35 holes to make this wall happen. And those columns that you see right there are approximately 225 pounds apiece. We put in a bunch of those, and we just went all the way down the line, and we got all of them put in. Go to the next slide for me, please. And as you can see here, it's teamwork to make this happen. The four of us guys there, I was on a crew of about 7 people on the wall crew, working on the wall. And those pieces right there, those are the columns. We took 4 guys to carry one of those things. We just slid the 2x4s under there, and we all took our share of, 65 pounds or so, and we carried those things, 34 of them, to all different locations on the job site to get that wall built. That right here is the picture of working on the new church. Those cement beams that go across, the doorways would be below those, the windows would be below those. Those that took a crane to move those things in there, as well as a crane to get the steeple in there, so that was good as well. There's us digging holes, again, 35 or so of those things. And again, over 100 degrees heat index every single day. The first 2 days were really nice, and we got super used to that. It was overcast, and everything was great. And then the sun came out. From 1 to 4, it was just death every single day. So, but the Lord was with us, and he kept us hydrated. And again, Dara Rossavon, all of the people that helped out there, they provided us with drinks and water and Gatorade. It was amazing. At one point in time, we actually purchased so much Gatorade that in their town, Don Tomb, we bought the whole town out of Gatorade. That's how much Gatorade we were consuming on this trip. But this is my dad right there. You can't tell because of his mask, but he welded that cross. Actually, if you give it up for my dad, he made that cross. God gave him the ability and wisdom to make that cross, and he used those gifts for God's glory. And that is the cross that is on the steeple. So that was super cool, and seeing the cross go in. A lot of people even got emotional seeing the cross go in because, again, this is the first steeple Moose ever built. In Thailand, the Buddhist religion is like 97% of the whole country, right? So less than 1% is Christian. And all over this, all over the country, you see idols and stuff, and mostly, you know, Buddha, just idols of Buddha all over the country. And idols are very big there and that kind of thing. Well, symbols and that kind of stuff. Well, this cross can symbolize Jesus Christ in the country of Thailand, but in this place as well. And when people come and when they're driving by, it's a busy highway right there. They're going to see this cross, and they're going to say, "Oh, that's kind of different." Maybe we're praying that it you know makes them want to come and just check it out and learn about Jesus and just be just discipled through this church. So we're excited about that. This is about halfway through the build, the new church. Again, we had just poured the bond beams. That's when everyone comes together and we pour concrete for like 4 hours. It takes 4 hours to get enough concrete and to get it poured, to pour those columns that go all the way around the building. I don't know, there's 14 or 15 in total. There's a lot of them, but it took 4 hours to do that. So this is Pastor Mac right here. He's the pastor of the church. So Mike and Dara are the missionaries, and they'll be overseeing everything with this guy right here. Amazing, amazing guy. Does speak a little bit of English, so we got to know him decently well. And he was right alongside of us a lot of the days, just, you know, trying to help us, whatever he could do. He was shoveling the sand. He was bringing people drinks. Just an amazing heart. And this guy will be overseeing the church in Thailand. As you can see, just another picture of a guy. That's Mike right there, Sobieski, from Arizona. And he's got a wheelbarrow full of those cinder blocks, and we needed them. We had cinder blocks all over the property, had to move them, and it's just a bunch of tough work. But just a bunch of awesome guys that come together and work together. Gus Duarte right here. I'm smiling at him because, you know, we piled that thing all the way to the top, and then he said, "No, one more. So we put one more, and he'd say, "No, one more." So I don't even know how much weight that is, but that guy carried that wheelbarrow of dirt pretty far, all the way to their side of the property. So again, another picture of the construction going up. Those giant metal purlins you can see there, the welders worked on those. They go all the way across on the roof on both sides. And then, of course, the metal, actually, it was a tile roof. Those pieces slide in on top, get screwed down to those. So that is the steeple before the full construction was done on it, before the concrete board was put on there. Just a really neat picture, and this picture was taken just after the crane had carried the steeple from one side of the job site all the way up in the air, carried it all the way over, and just dropped it down there. And that was super cool. And again, another moment where people were kind of getting emotional because it's like, man, this is really happening. We're one step closer to doing this. That's us carrying the 250-pound pieces of concrete that slide into make our wall. And the wall was a process. There was we ran into a lot of glitches. I mean, we showed up and you know the dirt hadn't been laid yet. An excavator guy still had to come and put it all down. And so we had to wait a few days to do that. And then we had some mathematical errors where our columns were set too far apart. And so we had to order new pieces of the concrete wall pieces and cut them all. And we had a lot of just kind of interesting glitches that happened on this, but by the grace of God, we got it all done. And even our boss was like, this was a miracle. This was really a miracle, and God was with us. And again, those pieces It took 5 pieces per wall. We had 30 wall pieces to fill, and we carried 150 of those things all over the job site. And again, it took 4 people a piece to do it. So God gave us the strength, and he gave us the energy to do that. And that is a crane lowering in. That's how we put those pieces in there. It took, again, 5 pieces per wall, and the crane would just, that guy was amazing. We didn't even have to signal him what to do. He was just doing all the work for us. But he would lower it in there, and we would guide it, and that's how we built the wall pieces. Right here, the mud crew, just a special shout out to those guys. Man, the concrete and stuff, you know, it takes people to actually mix this stuff. Like, you don't just push a button and concrete just comes out. And so these people are, you know, we got people shoveling rock and people shoveling sand. And again, it's over 100 degrees. And what you don't realize is as that barrel is spinning around mixing all this concrete, it's just shooting out at you and that kind of stuff. And so, you know, I like to be clean for the most part, so I would have hated that job. Pastor Mark Hornback from Ottumwa, he was a trooper, and he was right in the middle of that thing, and every single day he'd just be covered. But he'd show up the next day and he'd do it again. So that was really cool to see as well. So shout out to those guys. You can see the wall going up there. You can see the roof going up there, the tile roof. They're happy about the tile roof because it makes it a little bit quieter when it rains, not as loud as the metal. So, and that is the completed wall, as one section of it, and just awesome, just incredible. Just again, about 8 of us working on that project. As our boss, you know, Scott Carroll from Jefferson, as he said, it was a miracle. It really was. I mean, God, it came down to the wire, but we actually did get done one day before we had to. So that was just amazing. 265 feet in total. That's the completed roof over there, the OCD crew. That was Kevin's crew over there. That did a great job. It's a completed roof on the old church, which, as Pastor Matt said, will be a school to teach English. So that's super exciting. Right here, it's still in construction in this photo, but you can see the cross there, the steeple going up. And they're pretty high up in the air. Those guys were working way up there in the air with absolutely no ropes or harnesses. So that was pretty cool, but no one fell off. No one got injured there, so praise God for that. And when you're up there, you don't realize it, but the sun is just direct on you. And so those guys worked in probably even hotter than 100-degree conditions, and they got the job done, so really special. One of the last photos coming up here. This MOVE does this every church that they do. They just put their little emblem on there in the year that they built it, and it just symbolizes, hey, like this is a church that MOVE built that God's going to use for his kingdom. A group of men came together and said, yes, God, we'll leave the comfort of our homes for 2.5 weeks. We'll leave our families, and we will come to this country that most of us have never been to before, and we'll build a church. So really special to see that go up as well. The last photo this morning, the completed church right there, the completed church. Just incredible, just amazing. And at this point, yeah, like Pastor Matt said, a little bit longer we had to work on Wednesday to get it all done, but it all came together. By the grace of God, we got it finished. And so it was just a blessing to be on this trip. And so we want to thank you guys for your prayers, those who have given towards MOVE or given financially in any sort of way to make these trips possible. That's what it takes. It takes all of us. You know, 61 guys went, but hundreds of people were involved financially or in prayer, and it's a team effort. It's all of us together coming together to make this kind of stuff happen. So you'll hear a little bit more from Pastor Matt, but just want to say thank you to you guys for your prayers and everything. God bless.
Scripture with you that I think God's going to use this trip to apply to your life. But before that, we're going to give you, this was our, we had a dedication service, but MOVE was doing videos throughout. So this is one of the last videos. We'll give you kind of the best picture of start to finish. So go ahead and enjoy this. So, that was a trip. If you ever want to know inside extra stories, come talk to us. I got home that night, Thursday, kind of afternoon, and my wife was actually in California, and she was coming home, so I did some things, took a little nap, went and picked her up, came back, thought I'll just go right to bed. It was about 10 o'clock, and we talked till 12:30, and I told her about a third, maybe a quarter of the story, so it's all phenomenal stories. Like I said, it's about the second day I was there, I was doing my devotions, and God gave me the scripture, and it made sense as I went on. I had a little problem. You're there, and you're there amongst a bunch of guys, but a lot of them I know, and we're Christians. A lot of the guys I know have been Christians for a long time. There's a lot of us pastors there, and you still see things. Have you ever seen people's actions to where you expected a little bit more? And I was kind of there with some of the guys, not all, but some of them I knew, because you're seeing some attitude, you're seeing some kind of talking behind the scenes. It's, in a way, it was just like I was comfortable in the fact that like I was at work, but the expectations amongst Christians, in my mind, sometimes we have higher expectations. And so I was struggling a little bit with that. Not a holier than thou thing, but I'm thinking, hey, we should just, come on, guys. There's leadership. They're doing their best. Some of the back talking and things, it was bugging me a bit. And then we go to the services, and I'm seeing some of these same guys just plug into God and go up to guys and like, one of the guys that pulled a chair out to say, hey, let's pray, he wasn't even a leader. He just felt, and he just reacted to it. And I'm thinking, man, the way that some of these guys are just crying out to God and praising God and just opening their lives up to other guys, I'm thinking, I need to learn from them. So it was just like my mind was kind of tug of war in a way of just expectations. At the same time, there's these areas where God, he was using this trip to say, there's more in you. There's more openness. There's more that you can just allow in. There's just more. And this verse, listen to this. I want to set the stage real quick. It's in Acts chapter 3 is when Peter and John walk up to this temple, and there's a lame man sitting there. And most of us know the story. He just begins to beg, hey, I need something from you. What do you have? So he's looking for money. It's funny, if you read verse 1 of chapter 3, it talks about Peter and John. They go to the temple one afternoon to take part in a prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called Beautiful Gate. So he'd beg people as they're walking into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. And Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us. So grab a hold of this. What did Peter and John look like, do you think? Just guys. Guess who went on this trip? Just guys. Like, I'm thinking, hey, Aaron, yeah, so do you have your electricians? Do you have your professional block layers? Do you have your professional welders? And luckily, some of them that came in knew some of these things, but they were just guys. Ordinary guys. And so Peter and John's like, look at us. He needs them to understand, do we look like we have money? Do we look like, you know, we can help you out in that way? But then the lame man, it said he looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. And Peter said, I don't have silver and I don't have gold, but grab a hold of this. And this is what I need us to get as we leave this place today. I'll give you what I have. Now, who of us that could raise your hands, if you're not saved in here, I'm glad you're here because I need you to hear the truth, but who of us can raise our hands and I know I'm a Christian, realize how much you have to give? Because in the eyes of the world, what do we look at? Who do we kind of praise and who do we, like if they walk in the room, like, oh my gosh, it's popularity, it's money, some form of wealth or being known. But just to look at just ordinary people, sometimes we feel too ordinary. When we're born again Christians, we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And Peter knew that. An ordinary looking guy that was given chance after chance with Jesus that screwed up and kind of had a loud mouth and just kind of spoke his way. And at times, Peter felt like a failure. Matter of fact, he was the guy that betrayed Jesus when he said that he wouldn't. So he was, amongst many things, a liar and even kind of faking himself out. But he finally got it. And he realized what he had. And once he realized what he realized that he could give something. So he said, I don't have money. Don't have silver, I don't have gold. I can't help you out there. But let me give you what I have. And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazarene, get up and walk. And this is where I know I struggle at times, I think most of us do. It's having the faith to step out and lean on Jesus, knowing that it's him and it's not us. But we have him. We have the Holy Spirit. So many times when I'm talking to people, a lot of you, when we sit down, you'll compare yourself to me, and I don't like that. I don't know the word like you, or I don't understand. Like, trust me, I'm a regular guy. And there's people that know a whole lot more than me, and there's times I'm thinking, God, I'm in this situation. I don't know if I have what it takes, but we have the Holy Spirit. And too often, I think we're not doing what Peter did. Hey, I don't have what I think you think you need. I do have what you need. Let me pray for you. Let me take this issue that you have to God. Let me just believe in a miracle with you. God just wants us to speak out with what we have. And that's not even the scripture. Because after this, it starts a commotion. This guy is healed by the power, not by the power of Peter, it's by the faithfulness of Peter spoke out. Because he spoke out, the power reacted of the Holy Spirit, and this man is healed. They knew, it was recorded, that he had been lame since birth. And they're guessing, it's a guess, that this man could have been around 40 years old. A lot of people knew of this man. He was laid out there. That's how he lived. It was just through money, through begging. He was very well known. So this was a recorded miracle that no one could explain. So the priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they hear all this commotion. And so they go talk to Peter and John because they're like bewildered. They're like, oh no, it's just the stuff that Jesus guy used to do. We thought we got rid of this problem. Peter is speaking to the people. It says that in, we go over to chapter 4 now. The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem. The high priest was there along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, by what power and whose name have you done this? Peter, listen to this, filled with the Holy Spirit, not Peter the wealthy guy, Peter the well sought out, the guy that just well known, is Peter. The man filled with the Holy Spirit said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to you, to all the people of Israel, that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene. Now picture this. This is Peter. This is the fisherman that Jesus said, hey, I want you to be my disciple. Listen to the way he's speaking. He is speaking to the elders. Don't raise your hand, but who here could say some things about the President of the United States that might belittle him, and you would be telling the truth in your mind? But if you sat in front of the President of the United States, would you tell him that right to his face? Or would you feel somewhat of a, whoa, I better hold my tongue? Peter knew what these men thought. He knew that they killed Jesus Christ. He knew they hid it. He knew all of that. He knew what they could do to him if he didn't come under their authority. But he put his faith in the Holy Spirit. He didn't become a rebel, didn't just spew out and speak. He could, you know, people do that. But he says, now, understanding that, well, now listen to his words again. Are we being questioned today because of what that we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you. He's looking at all of them. and to all the people of Israel. He was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised him from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in scriptures where it says, the stone you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. Now, after all that, that next verse, guys, I think I went the wrong direction. There we go. This is what we need to wrap our minds around. Chapter 4, verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. I've read this verse about 50 times in the last 14 days. And let me break down what I think God's was telling us. They saw courage, but it was an ordinary man. There's nothing special. Sometimes you expect special things out of these special people. If you pull in a pro athlete, you bring in Caitlin Clark in here and you set up a hoop, I would expect her to make 3 point after 3 point. You give me the ball, what are you going to expect? If I make one, praise God, because it's not my thing. But she's very natural at that. You would expect that. They're looking at these guys. They weren't robed. They hadn't earned all of the ribbons and the frills that say, hey, this is how many years of study I have. These were guys that when the crippled man looked at them and Peter said, look at us, they looked as normal as anybody. But they had the Holy Spirit in them. And so what they saw, they looked beyond and there was courage in Peter's voice that explained his actions. And he took none of it to himself. Like, oh, I'm a man of God. I walked with Jesus. Don't you remember me? I was the guy that said, he's the Christ, he's living God. That was me. Peter did nothing like that. It was not about him because Peter knew that he can't save anybody. But he spoke about the power of Jesus Christ. And they saw that courage. And then they saw that they were unschooled and ordinary, and they were astonished. It's like, where does this come? If you're not schooled, where does this power come from? Where does this understanding of Scripture come from? They took note that these men had been with Jesus. See, I don't look at that and think, oh, well, they remembered visually that they had been with Jesus. They took note. Who else has shown this kind of power in our lives? When did we see miracles and things that we couldn't explain? It was that Jesus Christ guy. Now he's gone and we're still seeing these things. What's going on here? They took note. They did the math. Wait a second. This thing's real. So what I want us to understand, who feels ordinary? Sometimes who feels a little bit less than ordinary? It's not about that. What you have to realize is the truth that when you asked Jesus Christ into your heart, God honored that. Jesus went into your heart. The Holy Spirit was now with you. You are now, your name is now in the book of life. You are adopted by God because of that decision. You now receive the inheritance of eternal life when you live your life for Jesus. You are now empowered by the Holy Spirit. As human as we are, as much as we can get down on ourselves and point out our shortcomings, we, through the power of God, we have something that's beyond ordinary. It's extraordinary. And we have to know, understand, and believe that before we'll put that to use. Peter got it. It could have been an easy transaction. Hey, beggar, do you guys have anything for me? The beggar's, I just need silver gold. What do you guys have? Peter could have easily, sorry, I have nothing on me, and told the truth and just kept on walking. But Peter knew that he had something that was more precious than silver or gold, and something that was going to take a man's life and allow him to be a missionary of his own. So it may not be as extravagant as you praying over someone to be healed. It may be. If you ever feel the prompting, do it. If you're wrong, you're going to be honored because God saw that you acted in his name. But it may be as simple as just saying to someone, you know what? I'm kind of watching you go through a hard time. I'm seeing your reaction. Could I buy you a cup of coffee? I just want to talk with you. Believe in God to do things through you over believing in yourself. Because when we put our faith in ourselves, we know our shortcomings. We'll talk ourselves out of action. And then we'll go back and we'll pray for him behind the scenes. Anyone ever done that? God prompted you, man, I've done it. And I didn't want to react on it. Maybe it was in front of people or something I didn't want to say at the time. So I go back and boy, I pray like a warrior behind the scenes. But where are things seen? It's out in public when God can really, I shouldn't say it, God can use you anytime. But this, those public places, when this man was healed, how many people saw? The whole town was going nuts. They're running, getting people out of their houses. You got to come see this. You know Bobby, been crippled since he was born? That dude's running around circles. He's faster than I am. You're not going to believe this. It spreads because it's an awesome power. It's an awesome grace. It's an awesome love. It spreads, and we have the opportunity to spread it. So much like I saw 61 ordinary men go on this trip and accomplish something that was really quite amazing, you're not ordinary when Jesus Christ is in your heart. You're extraordinary. So I just want to pray. Anyone right now, you just say, I don't feel it yet, Matt, but I want to feel extraordinary. Would you stand? Matter of fact, I'm going to repeat that. If you don't feel extraordinary, but you want to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing that you can do things through him, you want the ability to just eke out when you might say, be quiet. You want to make a stand when everything in you says sit. You want to allow the Spirit of God to change people through your actions. Would you stand? I want that. I'm going to pray that God honors each and every one of you. So right now, Holy Spirit, in your name, in your way, in your will, we pray just the passion and heart of Jesus Christ that it lay upon us. To where when you've given us situations and the opportunities, may that voice of the flesh be overpowered by what we know. Peter finally got it after many lessons. I want to get it. People need you. People need grace. They need to know that they're good enough. And some of these people act battered. Some of these people are doing the battering. God, may we open our hearts to the people you've placed us into our worlds, our workplaces, our neighborhoods, our families. May we just, knowing that we may look ordinary, but because of Jesus, we're extraordinary. And may we step out and say, you know what? I might not have what you think you want, but I have what you need. I just want to pray for you. I would love for you just to come have a cup of coffee with me. Let me talk to you. I would love for you just to come to my church. Maybe bring your kids. And let me just show you imperfect people who love imperfect people. And we serve a Jesus who is perfect. Let me just show you that. Would you just come and experience that? I would love just to have the ability to walk out in this world and know that, God, you're always with me. And it's the truth. So, Father, right now in the name of Jesus Christ, may we grab a hold of that truth that we have, that there is power in the name of Jesus. And we can give that power because we have that through calling on the name of Jesus Christ. So Father, bless these. Holy Spirit, be on them. Rest upon them, their minds, their hearts, their abilities, their gifts. I pray that we walk out of here just thinking, man, I know the situations that I've been put in. How can I talk to this person? How can I pray for this person? And God, you are going to give us opportunities, most likely daily. Help us to step out in faith and watch what you do, putting our faith in you and not ourselves. We ask all of this in your name. Rest on us, dear God. May we see amazing, amazing things. May we see the kingdom grow because of our faithfulness. Peter wasn't a special person. He was an obedient person. May we walk in that same obedience and have those same results. We pray in your name, in your name alone. Everyone says, amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for letting us share our story with you. Love you. Good to be back. And looking forward to doing this again next week.